I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may the Lord bless you and strengthen you as you go into this new year. Yes, we need the Lord to strengthen us. We need the feeling of God's mighty Holy Spirit. May every one of us be filled with God's Holy Spirit, so that in this new year, all of us here may be able to glorify the name of the Lord better than what we did in the previous year. The subject this morning is the challenges ahead. The challenges ahead, and I speak from this very familiar passage, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Now, in this passage, we read that the children of Israel were about to enter into the promised land. They had finished their 40-year wilderness wandering. And now, their great leader, Moses, had died. And the leadership over the children of Israel was now handed down to the second in command, Moses' second in command, namely Joshua. Now, how old was Joshua at this time? Joshua was possibly about 90 or 100 or so. All right, remember, he was about 40 years old when they went out to scout the promised land. And then they spent about 40 years in the wilderness wandering. And so now he was possibly about maybe 85 to 90 to 100 years old, maybe. Now, Moses was a spiritual giant. And he led a very, very stiff-necked, disobedient, faceless, stubborn, murmuring people. Yes, of about 2 million or so. Now, how could he lead them? Now, he could because God was with him, and because God was the one who assigned him the challenge of leading the children of Israel over the time when they were in the wilderness wandering, and he was the one chosen by God also to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, he was successful because God was with him. And if God was with him, then he could never fail. So, Moses accomplished his task very, very successfully. Now, while Moses was given the privilege and the task to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, while he was given the task and the privilege to lead the children of Israel in the wilderness wandering, he was not given the privilege and the task to lead the children into the promised land to conquer the promised land. That privilege and that task were given to his second in command, Joshua. Now the question is, if you were Joshua, how would you feel at this time? You see, there was this great man who preceded you, who led the children of Israel so successfully. He was a giant, a spiritual giant. Now, how would you feel if you were Joshua? I'm sure you would take on the job with great trepidation. And then you would be saying, the shoes of Moses surely are very, very hard to feel. And surely you'll be filled with diffidence. How are people going to respect me? How are people going to obey me? Like the way they did to Moses. And even Moses had a hard time with them. Yes, what about me? So you see, the challenges ahead for Joshua were indeed very, very great. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. First of all, we want to talk about God's commission to Joshua. Yes, and number two, we want to talk about God's promises accompanying the commission that he gave to Joshua. And number three, God's conditions for success in the mission that he was commissioned. Now, God's commission given to Joshua was to what? I say to accomplish mission impossible. Yes. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, after the death of Moses, Joshua 1, 1 and 2. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Now listen to the commission given by God to Joshua in verse 2. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So, was the order a very simple and clear one? I say it was very, very clear to Joshua, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, into the land which I do give to them. A very, very simple and clear command, clear order. But friends, it was a very, very tall order. The feat was virtually insurmountable. Why? Because the land was occupied by nations that were more powerful than the children of Israel. There were the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and besides them, there were the giants, known as what? The Anakims, remember that? So the land was virtually unconquerable. Yes, but the question is, who commissioned Joshua? That's very important. Who was it that commissioned Joshua? Now we look at verse 1 again. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, who? The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. So who was it who gave the commission? It was the one true living God. He was the one who gave the commission, the one with whom nothing is impossible. Now as Joshua looked back, he would surely have recognized that this one true living God, the Almighty God, was the one who led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He was the one who delivered them from the slavery of Egypt. And remember, he sent those 10 terrible plagues to afflict the land of Egypt. And then he was the one who caused the Red Sea to part and to enable the children of Israel to cross over dry land. And then he was the one who led them in the wilderness wandering, who fought for them, who led them by a pillar of cloud during the day and by a pillar of fire during the night. And then he also provided them with food, with heavenly food known as what? Manna, yes. So he provided them with food. And then the word of God tells us that he also preserved their clothing and their footwear so that after the 40-year wilderness wandering, their clothing and their footwear didn't suffer any kind of wear and tear. So, God was with them. Yes, this God was both able and faithful, who never let the children of Israel down. So, if he gave the command, or if he gave the commission for Joshua to accomplish, then Joshua could not fail in that mission. Yes, my question to all of us this morning is this. Yes, has he commissioned you to do anything for him? Has he? Think about it. Has he commissioned you to do anything for him? Now, you have been going on maybe for some years in this church. Maybe you have, I don't know, maybe you didn't do anything in this church. And now, in the new year, you may have to ask, what has the Lord commissioned me to do for the new year? Yes, has he commissioned you to serve somewhere in the church? Or if you have been some years in the church and have already been serving, has he commissioned you to be a leader in something? Has he commissioned you to be a leader in, let's say, our Bible study? Or has he commissioned you to lead in some activities in the church? Or has he commissioned you to be more active in the kitchen ministry? Or has he commissioned you to be a Sunday school teacher? Or has he commissioned you to be a deacon or an elder in the church? All right. We don't know. But you may have to ask that question. Yes, the Lord may be commissioning you to do something for Him. Now the task ahead could be very frightening, big, daunting, tough. And we may feel that, Lord, I don't think I'm able enough to manage this kind of challenge. But that's a good feeling to have. If you have that kind of feeling, I may not have the strength to serve, oh Lord God. It's a good feeling to have. It shows that you are not self-confident, but you are willing to place your trust in the Lord and you are willing to depend on Him. Now, service for the Lord is not necessarily limited to service to the Lord in the church. Now, we could be serving the Lord in our workplace, for example. Yes, or we could be serving the Lord in our schools. If you are a student, yes, you'll be serving the Lord in your school. Or we could be serving the Lord in the home. Yes, if you are mothers, you will be serving the Lord in the home. Now then, the situation at the workplace could be very, very difficult, could be very, very challenging. You could be assigned a task in the office that is very, very tough, a project that is very difficult to manage. Or you could have a boss that was very, very unfriendly, very difficult to work with. Or you could have colleagues that are very, very uncooperative. My dear friends, the question is, did the Lord place you there? Now, if the Lord has placed you there, if He has commissioned you to do the job for Him at your workplace, then you are going to be successful where you are. Or, you could be a mother. Yes, your job in the home could be very, very tough, because you could be having children that are very difficult to manage. Yes, and your children need to be healthy, children need to be eating well, your children need to be doing well in school. And besides all this, you have to send your children to various kinds of activities, piano lesson, swimming lesson, and also you have to send your children to the kids' club meeting. All these activities can be very, very challenging. But friends, if the Lord has commissioned you to be that mother, you will be that mother who is going to be a successful mother. If that is where He has commissioned you, if that is what He has commissioned you to do, you will do well. Or, you could be a student. Yes, your schoolwork could be very tough. Yes, you don't seem to be doing well in certain subjects. And then you don't have a good teacher, maybe, and then your classmates are very, very difficult for you to relate with. But friends, if the Lord has placed you there to be a student, then you are going to be a successful student in the position that He has placed you in. If He has commissioned you to be there, you'll be successful. Why? Because He says, I'll never fail you, I'll not forsake you. Just as He was with Moses, just as He was with Joshua, He would be with you also. Now to all of us here, all of us, in whatever position we are in, the question is where we are where the Lord wants us to be? And is what I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do? My dear friends, if the answer is yes, and yes, and yes, then we can trust this God of ours to enable us to accomplish our task well, because He has commissioned us to perform those tasks. And this God who showed Himself both able and faithful to Moses and to Joshua will surely show Himself to be able and faithful to us. You know why? Because it's the same God. The God of Moses, the God of Joshua, is the same God that we believe in. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes? So, if He has placed us there, He has commissioned us to be there, then we will be successful where we are. Next, the Lord says something to Joshua that seems very obvious. You see, the Lord says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Do you read those words? Moses, my servant, is dead. Seems very obvious. Now, why did the Lord say something that was so obvious to Joshua? I think, first of all, it was to tell Joshua not to look back, not to wish for something that had passed to be brought back to present again. Joshua, don't wish for Moses to be around to do the work. You are going to do the work. Don't wish for Moses to be around to do the work. Now, we are all very inclined to do that. Yes, to look back. Very often, you could have somebody who served very, very well in the past. Maybe in the church situation, and that person served very, very well. That person was very, very effective. That person was very godly, very spiritual. And then that person had to leave. The person had to leave our church and had to go somewhere else, to serve somewhere else, or to, because he had to relocate, or because he was reassigned to some other work somewhere. So he left us. Yes. And then what do? Here we keep looking back and keep looking back and wish that the person would come back to serve, so that this organization here would be more effective. My dear friends, if we keep looking back, we can all feel very, very discouraged. You know why? We would then feel that the current people who are serving are not as good as people in the past. And we can get very, very discouraged. Now, such a feeling only goes to show how self-dependent we are and how not God-dependent we are in our service for Him. It shows that we do not trust God enough to think that God is able to continue His good work as He did in time past. Friends, that must never ever be our thinking. The Lord says, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Yes, this was to tell Joshua, the work of the Lord goes on. Even if Moses is dead, my work goes on. Even if Moses is dead. Yes, Moses is dead. But the God of Moses is not dead. The God of Moses is alive. And He is faithful and He is able. Now let us remember this truth. Yes, I could have said this before. Years ago there was this church in which some leaders in the church left the church. In fact, it was a significant number of leaders who left the church. Not that the leaders had a quarrel with other leaders in the church or with other members in the church, but they left the church to start another church. Now, because this group of leaders was actually very, very effective, the feeling was that with their leaving, the leadership quality in the church would go down. Yes, the power of the leadership would be depleted with the leaving of this group of leaders. But was that the case when after the group of leaders left? That was not the case, because God raised up another group of leaders that was just as good as the group of leaders that left. Yes, just as good or even better. So, my dear friends, let us never fear. If a group leaves, the Lord is well able to bring up another group, raise up another group to serve. Moses, my servant, is dead. This was to tell Joshua, no man is indispensable. When one servant of the Lord goes, the Lord will raise up another to do His work. And that thought actually should humble us. We are not indispensable. If we choose not to serve Him, my dear friends, God is well able to choose another person to serve Him. Yes, you know, we have this terrible sinful nature in us that sometimes makes us feel that the organization or the church that we are serving in cannot do without us. The church or the organization will collapse if we were to leave. Yes, some of us have this kind of feeling. Yes, but friends, let us humble ourselves to realize that God is very, very kind and very, very gracious to us. And that if He has given us a part to play in His orchestra, let us be very, very thankful that He has given us that part. Because if we choose not to play that part, He can always raise up another person to fill that role. No problem at all. No man is indispensable. I think of this case of this lady in the Word of God. This lady by the name of Esther. Remember Esther? Now, Esther providentially became the queen of Persia. She was a Jewess, a young, beautiful Jewess who was selected to become the queen of Persia through a beauty contest. She was placed there providentially by the one true living God. Now, in the kingdom of Persia, there was this wicked man by the name of Haman. Haman was a Jew hater. He wanted to exterminate the Jews. And so he came up with a very, very wicked plan to kill all the Jews. Then, of course, the Jews knew about it. Mordecai, who was the uncle of Esther, of course, knew about it. And so he protested publicly. He protested actually to signal to Esther, who was in the palace, to intervene. Esther, you must intervene. You must intercede for the Jews to preserve the Jews. But Esther was too scared to do it. She was reluctant to do it. You know why she was reluctant to do it? Because there was this law in Persia that stated that if the king of Persia didn't summon anybody into his presence, and that somebody went into his presence without being summoned, if the king didn't put forward his golden scepter, that person would be executed right away. So, Esther was not called into the presence of the king for 30 days now. So she was too scared to do anything. She was reluctant to do it. You know what Mordecai told her? I'll read for you in Esther chapter 4. All right, Esther chapter 4. Let me read this to you. Then, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Think not with yourself that thou shalt escape in the king's house. Don't think that if you are in the palace, you can escape. You are a Jew. Don't forget that. More than all the Jews. Verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, in others, if you keep quiet at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. You see, he was telling Esther, if you are not going to intervene, if you are not going to intercede for the Jews, if you are not going to play that role, God is well able to raise up another one to do it. Yes? And Mordecai told Esther, for what you know, it is God's purpose for you to be where you are now, for this very purpose, to intervene, to intercede for the Jews. And finally, Esther did intervene. She interceded for the Jews, and the Jews were preserved. And this wicked man, Haman, was finally executed by the king of Persia. And he was hanged on the gallows that he had designed for Mordecai. But my point is this. No man is indispensable in God's service. Esther, if you don't want to do it, God is well able to raise another person to do it. So let us remember, my dear friends, if God has commissioned us to serve, let us accept that commission. And be very, very thankful. Let us go on our knees and thank the Lord He has chosen us. Remember this, if you don't want, God will choose another person. Now, verse 1. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, the Lord did not speak to anyone else, but to Joshua, the son of Nun. He chose and he commissioned him to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. You remember when the children of Israel came out at the time of the Exodus from the land of Egypt, there were 600,000 men. Did you remember that? None of them were chosen. Alright? Except Joshua. Then you remember in the wilderness wandering, there were people who were born in the wilderness wandering. And then there were people who were below 20 years old. Yes? They were still alive in the wilderness wandering. Many of them didn't die in the wilderness wandering. And many would be entering into the promised land. They were not chosen. Yes? Only Joshua was chosen. And not even Caleb. Remember Caleb? Caleb was the co-spy with Joshua, along with 10 other spies. They went to scout the promised land, and only Caleb and Joshua came back with absolutely good news that the land was conquerable. Yes, flowing with milk and honey and conquerable. Caleb was also a man of faith, a great hero of the faith, but Caleb was not chosen. Joshua was chosen. And not even the great Moses was chosen to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Only Joshua was chosen. Now, what do you call that act of God, my dear friends? What do you call it? I say it is an act of grace. Really, it is an act of grace. It was by the grace of God that God chose Joshua to serve. Yes, and likewise, friends, it is out of the grace of God that we have been chosen out of darkness, out of the darkness of sin, into God's marvelous light. Out of God's grace. And today, if we are occupying some position of service for the Lord, let us understand also that it is out of God's grace that we have been chosen to be put into this position. All out of His grace. Yes. So, if we have been chosen to serve, if God has commissioned us to serve in certain positions, what should we do, friends? Go on our knees and be very, very thankful to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you very much for choosing me to play a part in your big orchestra. Now we all see also that when God commissions, He also prepares Joshua for service. Now Joshua was not a novice. Alright, understand this truth. He was not a novice in the service for the Lord. He was Moses' right-hand man. Now he was that young general some 40 years earlier when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, who led the children of Israel to fight against the Amalekites. Now that was the first battle that the children of Israel fought. And he was the young general who led the children of Israel to fight victoriously against the Amalekites. And then Again, he was one of the 12 spies who went into the promised land to scout the promised land, and he was one of the two who came back with absolutely good news that the land was flowing with milk and honey and the land was absolutely conquerable. Yes, and he was the one who accompanied Moses up Mount Sinai. When Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive God's commandments, yes, although he did not go in right into the presence of the Lord just as Moses did, but he accompanied Moses up Mount Sinai when Moses was there to receive God's commandments. So, my dear friends, Joshua was not a novice when he was chosen to occupy this position of leadership. Likewise, when God commissions us to perform a task for Him, He prepares us for it. For service in the church, He will groom us for it. If He wants us to be a Sunday school teacher, He will groom us to be a Sunday school teacher. If He wants us to be a deacon in the church, He will prepare us for deaconship. If He wants us to be an elder in the church, He will prepare us for eldership. Now, this basic principle has been laid down by the one true living God for holy office in the church. No novices for holy office. Now, I've seen in some churches in Singapore in which novices were elected into holy office. Now, these novices were good, capable in their own rights. They were managers or big bosses in some companies and analysts and so forth. They were great people in the secular world. But these qualifications did not necessarily qualify them for holy office. These people did not manifest good spiritual qualities. They were not committed, for example, to come to the church prayer meeting to pray for others in the church. And they did not understand that to be leaders in the church, they were not to be ministered unto, but to minister. They were not to be served, but they were to serve. And so some of them, listed up with pride, failed miserably in their office. Friends, when we are choosing leaders, let us observe this very, very basic principle. No novices for holy office. I think you would know that we have made that kind of mistake in our church. I don't have to elaborate, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, we made that mistake, but we must not repeat that mistake. No novices for holy office. The Lord will groom and He will train the right people for the right job at the right time. So, if we are electing leaders in the church, let us open our eyes, spiritual eyes, and let us be very, very patient for the Lord's grooming and training of the right people for the right positions. Now, one quality the Lord planted in Joshua to occupy, to prepare him for service, must have been meekness and humility. Now, Joshua must have seen this quality in Moses. Now, Moses was described by God as a very, very meek man. A meek man, a very, very meek man upon the face of the earth. Yes, and if God said that he was humble and meek, he was humble. Now, Joshua must have learned meekness and humility from his predecessor, his leader, Moses. And this meekness and humility, Joshua surely must have had. Because this was described of him after he died. Alright, if you turn to Joshua 24, verse 29. Joshua 24, 29. I read for you. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. The servant of the Lord died. Now, what was he described as? He was described as the servant of the Lord. He was not described as a five-star general or superstar general, although he qualified to be regarded as a superstar general. But he was simply described by God as the servant of the Lord. Surely this was a meek and humble man who led the children of Israel to conquer the promised land. So you see, whom the Lord commissions, yes, He also prepares him for service. Right? As in the case of Joshua, he was very, very well prepared for that leadership. And likewise, my dear friends, if the Lord commissions us to assume certain kinds of position, He will prepare us for those positions. Now when God commissions, He does so with His promises. That's my point number two. Yes, He does so with His promises. Look at the promises He made to Joshua, verses 3 to 5. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea. The great sea refers to the Mediterranean Sea. Toward the going down of the sun, which means on the west, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now would Joshua dare to charge ahead to lead the children of Israel into the promised land without these promises given by the one true living God? My dear friends, it would be foolish of him if he did that. It would be suicidal if he did that. Yes. First, how were the children of Israel going to cross the river Jordan? The river Jordan at that time was swollen, overflowing. How could he lead the children of Israel, 2 million of them, to cross the river Jordan at that time? And then they were going to the land, not for holiday. They were going to war in the whole, in the promised land. Yes? And the opponents that they were going to contend with were mightier than they. But God told him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That was the promise God gave to him. Joshua had seen how faithful God had been to Moses. He had seen how God had afflicted the nation of Egypt with those 10 plagues. He saw how God had parted the Red Sea and then to enable the children of Israel to cross over dry land. He had seen how the Lord had preserved them and protected them in their wilderness wandering. And just before they arrived at the bank of the river Jordan, God had defeated the Moabites and the Amorites for the children of Israel. So he saw how faithful God was to his servant Moses, and he saw how faithful God was to his people. Was Joshua much comforted and strengthened, therefore, by these promises made by the one true living God? And the most outstanding promise was this: as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Friends, let us understand that when we are commissioned by God to do something for Him, He will be with us, just as He was with Moses and Joshua. Do you believe that? Yes, we must necessarily believe this to be true. This God of ours, my dear friends, as we said earlier on, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, and this mighty God, in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has made us this promise. You remember that great promise the Lord gave to His disciples and to us also in Matthew 28. What? Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, friends, what task has He commissioned us to undertake? What task? Remember, He says, I'm with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Now, with this promise, this Lord of ours has also given us one common commission to all of us who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us one common commission. And what is this common commission? Go and tell the gospel, of course. Go and tell the gospel. And friends, if we are willing to accept this commission and really go out as He has commissioned us to go out, will we fail? Pass or fail? Of course we will pass. He has given us this promise, we will not fail, and therefore we must pass. Alright, so remember this truth. So God commissions, He promises success, but there are conditions for success. Alright, God gives us conditions also. Look at verses 6 and 7, and then verse 9. Alright, verses 6 and 7. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. In other words, you lead them into the land of the promised land, and divide the land among the 12 tribes of Israel. But be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7. But only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 9. Hath not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So, friends, what's the condition God gave to Joshua? Three times he said it. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6 he said it. Verse 7 he said it. Verse 9 he said it again. Be strong and of a good courage. Now this condition, this command that he gives to us is very, very important. Friends, if we want to be successful in the mission that he has commissioned us to perform. Now how can we be strong? How can we be of a good courage? How to have good courage? My dear friends, for us to have good courage is to have faith in the one true living God. If you want to have good courage, then you have to have faith. But the question is, how to have faith? The word of God gives us the answer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must read God's word, my dear friends, if we want to have faith. Read God's word, believe on his word, feed on his word. Then we will have faith, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the question is, did Joshua hear God's word? Yes, no. Of course it's yes. But from whom? Of course from Moses, yes. Remember, Moses wrote the first five books, right, the Pentateuch. So Joshua must have heard God's word from Moses. And he saw how that whatever God had promised, God would always carry out his promise. Today, we are in a far, far more advantageous position than Joshua ever was in. Joshua, as we said, only had the words of Moses, the five books of Moses, at the very most. But today, we have the complete word of God. Yes, which records for us very, very clearly the power and the faithfulness of God. We have the whole book, not just few books, but the whole book. We have hindsight experience of the great heroes of the faith. You know, the heroes of the faith will all the time be experiencing everything first time, right? But as far as we are concerned, we have hindsight experience. We have the hindsight experience of the great heroes of the faith in time past who went before us. So we are in a far, far more advantageous position than Joshua and the great heroes of the faith ever were in. Now, friends, to grow in faith, as we said, we must necessarily read God's word. We must believe God's word. And we must act on God's word. Yes. Now, God's revelation, as we said, during the time of Joshua was not complete. But today, we know more than the great heroes of the faith. We know, for example, that God's mighty Holy Spirit indwells us, he comforts us, he strengthens us. Now, the great heroes of the faith may have some knowledge, but they did not have as clear a knowledge as we have today, that the Holy Spirit indwells us, and he strengthens us, and he comforts us. And today we also know that we can live victoriously by the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this kind of knowledge would have been very, very vague as far as the ancient heroes were concerned. And we also today know that by the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to overcome the world and we are able to overcome Satan. We know more, much more to strengthen our faith than Joshua and other heroes of the faith ever knew. The Lord says, be strong and of a good courage. Now it is worth our while to understand what courage is. Now what is courage? Now is courage the absence of fear? No. Alright? Courage is not the absence of fear. But courage is this. Listen carefully. Courage is the willingness to push forward in the face of fear. Now that's what courage is. Even though we are fearful, we still continue to push forward. There was this soldier fighting in the battlefield, and he was standing his ground, but he was trembling, was shaking, was very, very frightened, but he stood his ground. He turned to his superior officer and said, "Sir, I'm very cowardly. You see, I'm shaking all over." But his superior said to him, "Soldier, you are a very, very brave man. Yes, even though you are very fearful, you still stand your grounds." My dear friends, that is courage. Yes, it is the willingness to stand our grounds, willingness to face our fear, yes, and not capitulate. Yes, that's what courage is. Now the question is how to handle our challenges and our difficulties with courage. The right way for us to meet our challenges and our difficulties with courage is to confess that we are very fearful in the face of difficulties, in the face of challenges. It is no use to say, "I'm not fearful, I'm very brave, see, I'm very brave." When you are fearful, admit that you are fearful. So let's say, "Lord, I'm very, very fearful. Yes, in the face of all these challenges, do give me the strength and the courage to push ahead. In my own strength, I know I will fail. But with you, nothing is impossible. If you have promised that I will succeed, I know I will not fail. I know that you will not fail me nor forsake me. So with this confidence, I'll do what you want me to do." My dear friends, that's how we manage our difficulties and challenges. Now next, what is meant by being strong? Is it being muscular? My dear friends, it is more than that. It is being unyielding to that which is wrong and being steadfast to do that which is right. Being unyielding to that which is wrong and being steadfast to that to do that which is right. And verse 7 says this, "The right thing for you to do is turn not from the law to the right hand or to the left hand. Be very focused in obeying the law which God gave to Moses." Now that is strength. Strength is being very, very focused to do what the Lord commands us to do. That is strength. How focused must we be in obeying the laws of God in order that we may be truly strong? The answer is given in Joshua 1:8. How focused must we be in obeying God's word so that we are truly strong? Look at verse 8. Alright, let's read this verse together. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now it was tough, really tough for Joshua to be strong. It was easy for him to capitulate, easy for him to cave in. It was easy for him to play to the gallery like politicians are very, very inclined to do. They love to play to the gallery, but not Joshua. Now you will remember the case of Aaron at the foot of Mount Sinai. He caved in under the pressure of the people. The people wanted him to lead them in the worship of the golden calf. And so finally he capitulated and he led the people in the worship of the golden calf. Yes. Now it was easy also for Joshua to cave in. It was easy also for Joshua to compromise when he led the children of Israel into the promised land to make deals with the Canaanites. You know, he could have made deals with the Canaanites and coexisted with the Canaanites and not go to war with them. He could have done that. But friends, he had great moral courage to stand up for what was right. Yes, and he stood. Yes, he stood. He was a brave man because he was very, very focused in obeying God's word. Now, for us to be successful in what the Lord has commissioned us to do, we must be strong. And for us to be strong, the only way for us to do it is to be very, very focused in obeying what God wants us to do. Yes, that's how we can be strong. So, what has the Lord commissioned us to do? Alright? He has commissioned us to live for Him, to bring Him honor and glory. And then along the way in our life, He has commissioned us to perform certain tasks for Him. And He has also given us this common commission. And that is, go and tell. Go and share the gospel with others. We will not fail in doing what He has commissioned us to do, because this God of us who has commissioned us to perform all these great tasks is both able and faithful. Yes, He was able and faithful in His dealings with Moses and Joshua, and so He is also able and faithful in His dealings with us. And when He commissions us to accomplish tasks for Him, He also arms us with His promises. And His promises never fail. His promises never fail because God never fails. Whatever He says He will do, He will definitely do. And today, He says to us, as He said to Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then for successful accomplishment of the task that He has for us, we must be strong, courageous, morally strong. And how may we be courageous? The only way for us to be courageous is to have faith. And how may we have faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And we must hear God's word, we must read God's word, we must meditate on His word, so that we may be strong, so that we may be courageous. And how may we be strong? We may be strong by focusing, giving our full focus in obeying God's laws. And if we give God's law the full focus in our obedience, my dear friends, we will be strong indeed for Him. So in the new year, my dear friends, let us go forth by His strength. Yes, He has given us this wonderful, wonderful promise. And He tells us this: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Aren't these two things what we want? Don't we want our ways to be prosperous? And don't we want to have good success? If we want, my dear friends, then accept the mission that He has commissioned us to do willingly, and be very thankful for the commission that He has given to us, and then go forth in faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us this wonderful commission to serve You. Lord, we thank You that You have called us to glorify Your holy name. And Lord, we thank You for this great commission that You have given to us, to go into all the world to preach the gospel to others. We pray that we may be willing to go forth with the truth of Your gospel to share it with others. And we thank You for Your wonderful truth that when You commission us to perform tasks for You, You also accompany Your commission with Your promises. And we thank You that Your promises never fail, because You never fail. And Lord, we know that for us to be successful in what You have commissioned us to do, we need to be strong and to be of good courage. And we know that we can only be of good courage if we were to have faith. And the only way for us to have faith is to hear Your word and to be strengthened by Your word. And Lord, we know that we need to be strong, and we know that we'll be strong only if we are willing to focus our full attention on Your word and to obey Your word. Lord, we pray that You will be with us throughout the year, enable us to be serving You well for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.